Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Daniel chapter 8 verses 13 through 17 titled 2300 Days and Gabriel the Angel. This is part 2 of 2.
Sometimes I'm studying, I'll look over there and say, it's going to be a good one tonight. What? Oh, no. You just keep doing what you're doing. Just make sure you show up at church tonight. So we'll read this in a moment. But first, he went to John the Baptist's father, Zacharias. We studied that with the prophecy of Zacharias. Then he shows up to Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. Both of those were all about the Messiah showing up. So let's notice the facts about Gabriel. Let's turn or look at verse 16 again before we move on. It says, Gabriel brought understanding. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man, that's referring to Daniel, to understand the vision. Well, it'd be nice if I had the t-shirt we gave Stephen. So now I can explain it to you, I can't understand it for you. Well, Gabriel was able to make him understand. How many of you have been through that? I remember my mom, my dad and my sister. See, when in school, I'm not bragging, I'm not boasting, this isn't, I'm not proud of this, but in school, I didn't care. I didn't care. I just didn't care. I got saved when I was 19, that's when I started caring. But my sister really seemed to want to do good in school. Might have been just so she wouldn't get grounded and lose her privileges. But she wanted to do good in school. And she would try. And then mom or dad would get in there and try to, they would explain, and she couldn't get it, and she would cry. And then all of a sudden we'd have this big drama. I just can't learn. Yes you can if you just turn off that stupid radio and sit down and, you know, and that kind of thing. Write it down. Personal joke. But isn't there times where you just wish you could grab somebody and like stick their forehead to your forehead and then infuse your understanding into their brain? Now you understand. Yes, I do. Well, that's without even doing the physical thing. It looks like it's just, it says that he was given the power to make this man to understand the vision. That's what it's going to be like in heaven. You're not going to know everything, but when you get there, you're going to listen to Jesus and he's going to make you understand. There won't be any stupid questions in heaven because I don't believe we're going to have to ask questions once we're taught something. I'm looking forward to that. Look at verse 17. Gabriel, like all angels in Scripture, is referred to as he, male. I know we mentioned that before, but let's look at it again. Verse 17. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for the time of the end shall be the vision. Excuse me. And verse 18. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. He was capable of physical touch. How many of you seen a movie or something where the angels couldn't touch anybody because they would pass right through? Like, they didn't get that from the Bible. See, when these angels came to earth and appeared before men, they appeared physically. It's kind of like Star Trek. Yeah. You see, and don't miss this. Star Trek copied the Bible, not the other way around. Huh? Yes. I like Leonard Nimoy. I did like Spock.
Yeah. Can you share with the
Yeah, there were some things on, many things in Star Trek that are not biblical, that's for sure. But he says, he touched me and set me upright. Isn't that, that's kind of a tender moment there with Gabriel. Look at verse 19. Gabriel has been given knowledge of the end times. I don't mean limited knowledge like we have. We have knowledge, but ours is limited. Gabriel knows everything's going to happen. Look at verse 19. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed, the end shall be. Ain't that something? Verse 21. Speaking of, I don't know, Marvel Comics? Is that who Superman's with?
No, that's DC.
Oh, DC? Yeah. Superman's like a pro sports star. He's under contract with somebody. But verse 21 says, and the rough... Oh, wait a minute. Is that right? Oh, we're in chapter 9. Jump over to chapter 9. I was like, what did I do there? Chapter 9. We're going to study this more in depth. We get in there. But it says, yea, whiles I was speaking in prayer. Huh? That's the correct language. We don't talk right. Amen? Whiles I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. That's right. I believe the Bible, Jesus said, when we're in heaven, we will be as the angels are. We're not going to be angels. We'll be as the angels. That's why I believe we'll fly. And if you think that's silly, then you think God is limited. And my God isn't limited. And if my God wants me to fly, I'll fly. Amen. And I am looking forward to that. Verse 22. Gabriel is capable of conversation with humans. Now, it may sound funny, but I'll explain what I mean. Look at verse 22. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. I mention that because, again, a lot of times you're given the idea that angels just show up and say, like robots or something, thus saith the Lord, here's my message, goodbye. And that's not the way it is. Because you think about it, if an angel is going to show up and talk, wouldn't it be nice if you could talk to him and he'd answer? Conversation? I mean, it would be pretty wild to have an angel show up and give a message, but I think if that happens, you've probably got a devil showing up in this dispensation. And so I'm not looking for angels to be showing up. If, we're just saying, if. And again, what about heaven? Why aren't we going to be able to talk to angels and have conversations with angels? I don't see any reason why. I think we will. Isn't that neat? I know who is hitting the hardest right now. It's just Jenny. She's sitting down there like, I want to talk to angels. I'm looking forward to that. I'm just going to sit and listen to Jenny talk to angels for a while, just see what she says. First thing she'll ask him, you ever ride a unicorn? All right, look at verses 12 and 13 over in Daniel 10. Gabriel and Michael do battle with fallen angels. This is wild to think about. 12 and 13 says, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Look at verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. That means he was doing battle for 21 days. To get through to Daniel. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Ain't that something? There's a whole lot there that we don't know. We're not told a lot about it, but it is interesting. Look at verse 20 and 21. Then said he, "Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia." That's modern Iran, by the way. Ain't that a coincidence? "And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come." Greece. "But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that withholdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince." And we're going to look at Michael later on. But those are the only two angels named in the Bible. Gabriel and Michael. And they're fighters. I love it. Now, go over to Luke 1. We're about to wrap it up. I'm not going to keep you here all night. As much as I know, some of you would love to stay. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 19. I thought I had a mark. Yeah, there we go. Luke 1, 19. Gabriel stands in God's presence and is sent to deliver God's words. Verse 19 says, "And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings." And look at verses 26 through 28. "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." Isn't that something? Gabriel, he stands in God's presence, but then God said, "Gabriel, got a message I want you to send and deliver for me." Now, I want to say this. You go to the lexicons and they'll say the word angel means messenger. Hogwash. They do that because they just say, well, in the Bible they're always delivering messages. What did we just show you? They're also fighting. An angel is not just a messenger, and the word doesn't mean that. Not according to the Bible. Now look at verse 30. This is great. Gabriel brings comfort to believers. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." That suggests that Mary was fearful. Can you blame her? An angel has come to her and told her she's pregnant when she hasn't been with a man, isn't married, in a day when technically she could have been stoned to death for having sex out of wedlock and becoming pregnant. On top of that, this baby is God in human form. And she's carrying him. But something about the words of Gabriel, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Now, next verse. Gabriel was the first to deliver the name of Jesus to mankind. Until now, he's the Messiah without a name. Now, look at verse 31. This is Gabriel speaking. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." What a privilege for Gabriel to be the first to speak that name on planet Earth, revealing the name of our Savior to human beings, sinful mankind. Look down at verse 37. We're about to wrap it up. Verse 37. The motto of the state of Ohio are the words of Gabriel that are then quoted by Jesus. in Matthew 19:26. But Gabriel says this first. Verse 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And then later Jesus quotes these words. Now remember, Gabriel's giving, he's speaking the word of God. So it was Jesus who told Gabriel to say that. So Gabriel is quoting Jesus here, and then Jesus quotes Gabriel, who was quoting him in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. And there is what you'll see if you go into the Capitol Rotunda downtown and you look at the floor. You'll see the seal, and around the seal, the state motto, "With God, all things are possible." Thank you, Gabriel and Jesus. Amen? You know, the atheists hate that. Separation of church and state! And by the way, just have to mention this. The Gabriel in the book of Enoch is fiction. There's a growing number of people who the Bible isn't enough for them. And they're all going out and buying the book of Enoch. And there's all kinds of, like, Raphael and all these names of angels that are total fiction. And things about Gabriel and Michael, total fiction. So if someone tries to give you a book of Enoch and says, "Here, you can learn more about angels," tell them, you know, you want to learn everything God has for you in His Word, nothing more. Don't go out there buying books about angels. They're New Age. They're corrupt. They'll deceive you. We're told everything in the Bible we need to know. Amen? And that's where we'll pick up, back in Daniel chapter 8, verse 17, next time. A couple of minutes for questions, if you have a couple questions, if anyone does. If you add up, if you add up 7 years times 360, because they're on the lunar calendar, what do you get? You got a calculator? Come on. Come on. 7 years, 360 days equals how many days? 2,300 leaves what? 220. That's where it comes from. Yeah, I actually intended on having that up here, and I totally forgot. So it's a simple matter of math. That's why. Oh yes, I try not to lift her up too high, but I want to encourage my wife. Because she's a huge blessing. First time I said that, got me in trouble. And I was trying to express how I can just give her something and it's like planting a seed. I said, "Your brain is like a pile of manure." And I just plant a seed and it grows. No, Doug, I was going to say, feel free to use that. Now think about it. She had to have a sense of humor to marry me in the first place. I mean, just look at my face. I mean, just for starters. Yeah, Johnny? Yes.
It's interesting, there's a part where he asks him, "What's your name?" And he wouldn't give it to him.
I remember teaching on that, and my only answer was just because God didn't want to give it until the time came. And he say, "Why?" Well, maybe he'd already promised Gabriel he'd be the one to tell everybody. And God can't break his promise, you know. But there's one thing for sure. That is, Johnny, very interesting. Well, first, I remember it's almost aggravating when you read that the first, at least the first couple of times. You're like, well, why not? Well, tell him your name. And he won't.
And it says a moment later that Jacob did realize though that he had talked with God.
Yeah, he knew he was talking.
So of course we know who else, there's no one else to see.
Amen. Doug?
I was reading one today in Isaiah chapter 6, where it talks, 6:1, where it talks about the cherubim and about the one, the train filled the temple and everything.
Yeah.
And like 6 wings.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
What's up with that?
Oh, I can just tell you that, well, we know the purpose of the wings is basically to cover themselves completely because they, being in the presence of God in His fullness, no creature can stand. Now, God basically clothes Himself in light and becomes viewable, you know, in His presence in heaven to creatures. But that's what the purpose of the cherubim. They are in the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place is the biblical term, in heaven. So they're there. And what was on earth is a shadow of what's in heaven. So when they made the cherubim on the mercy seat in the holy place, it was to picture what's in heaven. And in heaven, they have that covering because they're in that most holy place, a place where only God can really see His own glory without being destroyed. Man, those creatures, we go over in Revelation 7 and 8, those creatures in heaven are wild. And people have asked me over and over through the years, and I said, listen, all I can tell you is be saved so you'll be there and you'll get to see it. Because otherwise, and you go back to Ezekiel and wheel within the wheel and all that stuff, I can't wait to see it. And we'll understand it there. We'll know what we're looking at. But man, what the, that's going to be something. All right, we've got to close it up. Fun stuff, ain't it? Let's stand, if you would. Have a closing word of prayer. Father, we do thank You so much for all this truth, this information, all of Your words that You've given us. So much we know that we don't know. But what You have told us, it's so incredible and amazing. Help us, Lord, to hunger for Your word, to always want to learn more, to trust Your word, and to understand that You are the only true God, Jesus, the only Savior of the world. We look forward to being in Your presence like nothing we could really put into words. We love You, Jesus. Thank You and praise You and ask You, give everyone safety on the way home. And all things we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
There's no cheese on the moon and pink elephants don't fly. We did not evolve from a monkey over time. If you make a funny face, it's not gonna freeze, and your closest relative is not a chimpanzee. There's a fairy tale for grown-ups, a scientific fraud. Silly men with secrets in telling lies on God. This fairy tale for grown-ups spreads like a germ, and if you get infected, you'll believe you came from worms. There's no cow who ever lived who left over the moon. Your own family tree does not include baboons. And if you kiss a frog, he won't become a man. And your great Uncle Fred is not a orangutan. There's a fairy tale for grown-ups, a scientific fraud. Silly men with secrets in telling lies on God. This fairy tale for grown-ups spreads like a germ, and if you get infected, you believe you came from worms. And if you get infected, you believe you came from worms.
Thank you. I'm